You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. This week, Dr. Gary Joyner takes us back to 1914 and the Christmas truce on the battlefield and why its history matters.
103 years ago yesterday, an event happened that gave the nations in Western Europe a glimpse of hope early in the First World War. It infuriated commanders on both sides, and who knows what the outcome might have been. During World War I, the greatest war in world history up to that time, an event occurred among Christians that indicated the power of religion. In the midst of all of this horror came a remarkable event that was to become known as the Christmas Truce. In 1914, warring Christian nations were fighting this war to end all wars. The grand designs of European nations had gone astray. Britain and France and their allies were positioned against Germany, Italy, Austria, and their allies. The war settled down in massive sets of trenches, which stretched from the North Sea to the Alps. Both sides would periodically try to break the stalemate by conducting headlong assaults in an attempt to smash each other's lines. What these attacks produced was unimaginable casualties. But on the evening of December 24th, Christmas Eve, something wonderful happened. As darkness descended on that cold, wet day, the shelling and firing slowed and finally ceased. The Germans lit candles and placed them on the battlements of their trenches. Because the trenches were as close as 30 yards apart, soldiers on each side heard the others singing. While the words were not familiar, the melodies transcended the language barrier. The two sides traded greetings and serenaded each other, Stille Nacht being traded for English equivalent of Silent Night. In some places, small Christmas trees appeared. Both sides asked the other to not fire at the men beginning to rise from their protection of the trenches and move toward each other. The commanding officers on both sides issued orders forbidding fraternization, but they were disregarded. As Christmas Day dawned, the merriment continued. Soccer games even broke out in several points along the line. At one point, the British hoisted a flag that read, Merry Christmas. The Germans responded with one that said, Thank you. As thousands of men on both sides came into the middle of no man's land, the area between the trenches where such bloody carnage had taken place, they brought small gifts. This was the first Christmas of the war, and the governments of both sides had sent small gifts to their soldiers. King George V of England sent plum pudding and small metal boxes with chocolates and cigarettes. Kaiser Wilhelm II sent his officers and others meerschaum pipes and tobacco. Towns and cities on both sides sent packages to regiments from their regions. This Christmas Eve truce is still seen today as an amazing event, brought about by privates, not officers, who realized that they shared something in common with the enemy. In some places, the ceasefire lasted into the new year of 1915. In others, it lasted only until December 26th. Early in the war, both sides thought that they could win, so there was no hope that the truce would last. Romantics still look at that brief moment in a sea of horrible carnage as one bright spot. Others see it as only a fleeting aberration. I choose to be a romantic and see a time when the common soldier believed he could alter the fate of nations, lower his weapon, and wish his mortal enemy Merry Christmas. To me, this proves, perhaps more than any other event that I studied, that history matters.
Dr. Gary Joyner is an associate professor of history at LSU Shreveport and is featured each Tuesday morning at 7:45 on Red River Radio.